It was actually in AD 590, so literally like 560 years after Christ had died. It was actually Pope Gregory the First that commanded that there be unending prayer, and that when someone sneezed, they were to say, God bless you. Why? Because in that day, in that year, sneezing was the first sign of the plague. God bless you, they would say when they heard somebody sneezing. In the medieval times, believe it or not, they believed that when you sneezed, you could sneeze out your soul. And so they said, oh, God bless you whenever you sneezed. Pretty crazy stuff, right? But how many here has never said, you know, to someone, God bless you? Not many, right? It's a phrase that that we love to say. I get asked to pray all the time that that God would bless those that I'm talking to. And I love to pray for people to receive God's best blessings. Amen? So I want to talk a little bit about that today. So I got 7 points to my two-hour sermon. No, it really isn't that long, but here's the 7 points, and so if I miss any, you'll be able to hold me accountable. So the first point is, what does it really mean to be blessed by God? The second point, what really are God's best blessings? The third, how do you obtain them? The fourth, an answer to the question, do we serve God to get blessings, or do we serve Him because of who He is? The fifth, that we are blessed to be a blessing. And the sixth, the answer to the question, why does it seem that the wicked prosper? And last, the call to choose. 7 points. Are you ready? Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready. What does it mean to be blessed by God? The psalmist, you know, David. David spoke to his soul, and he would say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all my inmost being, bless His holy name. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And you know what he said next? To his soul, to himself, and forget not all his benefits. And forget not all his benefits. Huh. What are the benefits of serving God? Huh? What are the blessings of God? The first thing that we really come to recognize is that if you are to live the life that God blesses, live the life that God blesses, that you start to realize that there is joy in the journey. Huh? When you begin to understand how to live the life God blesses, you begin to experience joy in the journey. And believe me, it's a journey, right? Like someone said, as you travel down life's pathway, may this ever be your goal. Keep your eye upon the donut and not upon the hole. You got to throw a little bit of humor in there once in a while. But you know, the thing is, life is a journey, and it's not intended to be a journey of drudgery with God. Your walk with God is intended to be a blessing. And I know that there is no place in Scripture that says that a Christian's life is free from trouble. You will never hear me say that, nor does the Scriptures, your Bible, ever say that as well. But the fact of the matter is, God does love to bless His people. God loves to bless His people. And I'm talking now about true, true blessings. Now listen carefully. A life marked by prosperity that is more important than wealth or fame. A life of eternal significance, which God loves to give to those who will walk by faith. Once again, a life marked by prosperity that's more important than wealth or fame. And a life that's marked by eternal significance, which God loves to give to those who will walk by faith. God loves to bless His children, right? Best blessings. If I asked you what are God's best blessings, what would you tell me? Huh? What are the best blessings that God has to give? What if I would tell you that the best blessing that Scripture really proves is the blessing of God giving you Himself and all that that means? And in order for you to get your head around that this morning, I just want to remind you that here in this earth, in this day, in these mortal bodies, right, the best blessings that we experience are the love that we have for one another. For example, the love of a husband for a spouse. The best blessings are relationship. The best blessings are relationship. So take that thought, which is truth, right? Right? That's truth. Take that thought and then say to yourself, then that means that my best blessing is having that person here with me. Amen? Having that person with me. So you see then, now apply that to God. You know, God's not into religion, He's into relationship. He wants you to be that close to Him. He wants to love on you and He wants you to come to love Him. He wants that intimacy, right? And so the best blessing that He can give you, especially knowing who God is the gift of Himself, right? Yeah. You know, in the Old Testament, God had commanded the priests, the high priests, you know, starting with Aaron. He had commanded them to bless the people whenever they would pray, right? You know what a benediction is, right? It comes at the end, right? It comes from the word bene, which meaning good. Bene, bene, right? Good. Bene, good. Okay, no. Bene, good. And diction is word, so it was a good word pronounced over somebody at the end of something. Benediction. At the end of a service, there's a benediction sometimes, right? Yeah. Well, this is the good word that God commanded the high priest to speak over the people of God. The Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron, Aaron was the high priest, and his sons, the other priests, that this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Now listen. The Lord said, this is what you are to say to them. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. So they will put My name on the Israelites and then I will bless them. All of those things had to do. Now, listen, I'm a grandfather, and I'm a very, very happy grandfather. You know, I light up when my grandchildren come into the room, right? But the joy that I really get is seeing them light up whenever they see my face shining upon them. And believe me, my face shines upon them. Amen? So now you understand, we're trying to grab a hold of the truths of this and apply it to our lives, you know, the spiritual truths, what God's talking about. Why would He say, this is how you're to bless them, you know, say to them, may the Lord bless and keep, may His face shine upon you. If someone's face is shining upon you, man, they are smiles from ear to ear. They are just in love with you. They have experienced joy of being there. Looking at you, seeing your face. So what greater blessing could there be to have the Lord of all have His face shine upon you? Just that you would have a glimpse of that shining face looking at you with love and joy. I mean, my goodness, does the devil work hard to try to distort, you know, the picture of God and what he thinks of you. Whenever God desires to take joy in you, right? That He loves you and loves being in your presence and loves. You know, the Scripture says, seek the Lord's face. Why? Because then you will see His face shining upon you, in love with you, full of joy for you. The Lord make His face shine upon you. What an incredible blessing, right? Some of the best blessings of God. You know, in the book of Ephesians, and I'm going to try to go fast, you know, we find out this spiritual truth. It says in chapter 1, it says, Paul writes, you know, Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Now, you can't read your Bible from end to end without knowing that God has always blessed His people, has always blessed obedience, right? When people are willing to walk with Him, be with Him, want Him. He's always blessed it, and He blessed it in many, many ways. Many ways. But I'm here to tell you this morning that the best blessings are spiritual blessings in Christ, because they transcend even the here and now. They follow you into eternity. The best blessings actually are even the best here on this material earth. What better blessing could you have than having a fullness of love, that having a peace that passes all understanding, of having a joy unspeakable and full of glory? These are the things that God desires to bring us. Not just the material things that He knows we need, right? Those He knows we need. And He makes no bones about that, being able to provide what you need as well. But the greatest blessings are always spiritual blessings, because they transcend the here and now, and they bless us even in the here and now more than anything else can. You can have, you know this truth, you can have all the wealth in the world and be the most miserable person in the world and have no peace and have no joy. You understand it very, very well. The best blessing. So I pray, when I pray for people, I say, God, bring your best blessings into their life. Your best blessings. But how are they obtained, right? I want you to read with me a passage of Scripture here. And again, I'm going to try to be fast, but bring this up on the big screen if you can back there. Are you able to do that with the other computer? Yes? So this passage is Deuteronomy chapter 30. And verse 15 and 16. Deuteronomy, if you have your Bible, you can open there too. They still work as well. And the internet password is Romans 8.28. Right? Did I get that right? Or is there no dots in it? Is it just 828? Romans 8.28 with no dots. So if you have your phone and you want to bring it up on the phone as well. But that good old paper Bible still works, right? Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 15 through 16. Deuteronomy 30. That isn't it. Deuteronomy 30, verse 15 through 16. Here's what he says. This is, by the way, at the end of a passage in Scripture that starts back in Deuteronomy 28. And when the Israelites were entering into the Promised Land, it's an awesome passage of Scripture. And God actually split them up into two camps, and He had one go up to one mountain and one go up to the other mountain. And the ones on the one mountain were to proclaim all the blessings of God for obedience, and the ones on the other mountain were to proclaim all the curses for disobedience. And there they were, you know, proclaiming them. And at the end of that proclamation, and by the way, you want some good reading, you read chapter 28, And you look at the blessings that God had promised the Israelites, you know, when they would be faithful to Him, right? And the curses aren't too happy. They're not too much fun when you read those, right? And at the end of it, here's what he says, Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 15. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I can't command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in His ways and keep His commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you're entering into to possess. Powerful stuff. Possess, right? Possessing God's blessings. Have you ever prayed this prayer? God bless my mess. If not, you understand the sentiment, right? Because our life sometimes can be a mess. Oh yeah, we've been there, done that, right? Some got the t-shirt, some is still being printed. Yeah, bless my mess. You know what a mess is. Situations that either you get into, you know, or just circumstances bring your way. They are messes. There's no doubt about it. But you know, one of the greatest and most powerful stories of the Old Testament is a story of how God took a mess that someone was in and turned it into a success. He took a mess and he made it into a message. And it was the story of Joseph. And for the sake of time, I'll really paraphrase it for you. It's really good reading in the book of Genesis, right? Joseph, right? This is to illustrate this truth that some of the most blessed people that you read about in your Bible, in my Bible, some of the most blessed people, blessed by God, that is, are people that endured great trials. Right? Endured great trials. This one was the story of Joseph. Right? Anointed by God so that he was even dreaming dreams from a young age. He was a dreamer. Yeah. His family didn't understand it. His brothers hated him because his dad actually made it known that Joseph was dad's favorite. And that caused a rift in the family, as you might expect, right? Joseph being the youngest. You remember hearing about Joseph's multicolored dream coat? It had a little orange in this like this, and the red over here, and the blue and the purple and all that stuff, right? So you think I'm multicolored today. You should have saw that coat. Joseph's, hey, there's a movie, right? Joseph's Technicolor Dream Coat. Yeah. So that coat got him in trouble. Why? Because his brothers were jealous. So much so that they were out, you know, tending the sheep and saw Joseph coming. He was bringing them food sent by mama. And they said, let's kill him. How would you like that to have your brother say that? Let's kill him. One of the brothers talked sense into him. Make a long story short, instead of killing him, they devised a plan to sell him as a slave. There was a group of Midianites coming down. They were heading down to Egypt, and they were coming with a load of slaves already that they were going to sell on the slave block down in Egypt, because Egypt was in the market to buy those slaves. And so they sold Joseph as a slave. He ends up in a slave block, and he gets bought by a man named Potiphar. Can't be a good guy with a name like that, right? Potiphar. What's your name? Potiphar. Did you ever hear anybody in your lifetime named Potiphar? No wonder. Potiphar, what's your name? Potiphar. Now, I hope nobody listening to this has a relative named Potiphar, but it's a weird name, isn't it? Potiphar. What for? Potiphar. Anyway, Potiphar had a wife that, if you'll excuse my saying, was very horny. Yeah. Let's just say it like it is. And she saw this young strapping Hebrew and decided that, hey, he's a slave. I can do whatever I want. Yeah. Joseph was having none of it. He left a coat that he had on in her arms when he ran out of the house. But a woman scorned, you know. So when her husband came home, Potiphar, that is, you know, she devised the scheme that it was Joseph that made the pass at her. And so Potiphar, what's he do? He could have killed him. Instead, he had him arrested and thrown into the prison, the Egyptian prison. Did Joseph do anything wrong yet, church? No. And there he is in prison now, sold by his brothers, right? In prison. God's favor was upon him even in prison. And he won, actually, the favor of the jailer, who saw what an incredible young man that he was and made him his helper. So that he met the people coming into the prison. He meets the king's cupbearer and baker. You know, the king was Pharaoh, right? And Pharaoh had those two dudes arrested because he had heard of a plot to kill him. Pharaoh had heard that someone was out to kill him. And he narrowed it down. It was either the cupbearer or the baker. He couldn't figure it out, so he threw them both into prison. Joseph was there, you know, helping them get enrolled in the prison. And as in the process of talking to these two, he finds out that they're having these weird dreams, right? And they don't know what the dreams are about. So Joseph prays. He says, God is the giver of dreams. God can give you the meaning of dreams, right? Yeah. God can give you the meaning of dreams. And so Joseph prayed and he told these two what the dream meant. And it was, by the way, that one of them was guilty and was going to get his head chopped off. The other was going to be restored to his position. The one who was restored to his position, the cupbearer, you know, the last thing Joseph said to him was, "Remember me." But he didn't until, right? There he is, still in prison, right? Until then, Pharaoh starts having these weird, bizarre dreams. And he calls all his soothsayers and magicians and astrologers and magic men in and says, "Tell me the meaning of my dream." And they said, "Tell me the dream." He says, "No, that's too easy. You tell me the dream and its meaning and I'll know it's true. No one can do that, only the gods." When he said that, gods, the cupbearer remembered Joseph. And because the Pharaoh was about to kill them all because they couldn't tell him. "Wait, don't. I was with, you know, in prison. I was with this guy who revealed dreams. Go get him. If he can't do it, we'll kill him too." Joseph's brought in, right? Long story short, Joseph says, "I can't do it. God can. I'll pray, and God can give me the answer." And he did. And he gave Pharaoh the answer that he was looking for. The dream itself and its meaning. You know, the seven fat cows, seven skinny cows, if you've read that story. 7 years of plenty, followed by 7 years of famine. Ends up, after that, he puts Joseph in charge of the storing up of grain in those 7 years, so that, you know, Joseph was now in position to save his whole family. You know, we heard a word about family here today, and I know that it was for more than one in this congregation. Joseph, right, he went through a lot of trials, by the way, none of which were his own doing. He went through a lot of trials until God put him in a position where he could save his whole family, and he did. Brought him back down there, right? Incredible story of God taking a mess and turning it into a message, amen? Taking a test and turning it into a testimony. God can do that in your life. He's good at it. Huh. But the one thing that we have to understand is that God will not bless sin. We made that point the other week. I don't have to hammer on it here again this morning. See, that's the thing, is that, you know, sometimes all we want is a bailout, not really God's blessing, because we find out that sometimes God's blessings are contingent upon us turning truly to Him, which means turning away from some of the things that are stealing our blessings, right? Do you want a bailout, or do you want truly the best blessings of God, huh? Sometimes we find God's blessings in the midst of our struggles, huh? And that leads me to this point. Do we serve God to get blessings, or do we serve Him because of who He is? The answer is yes. The answer is yes. We serve Him because of His blessings, and we serve Him because of who He is, right? Ideally, out of love. That's the ideal motivation for serving God. It's what He wants. Anything else is in process. Right? God knows you. He knows us. He knows humans. He understands. Yeah, I'm going to show them who I am. I'm going to show them some blessings they understand, get them to the point where they start to understand the beauty of spiritual blessings. I'm going to start then to reveal those spiritual blessings, starting with the fact, I love you so much. I want to be with you. And you become awakened, right, to that truth. And then all of a sudden what happens is we start serving God out of love more than the material things, right? Which is where we want to be. It's where God wants us to be. But it's crazy, you know. It's I read a story about a guy in Wyoming going to a dump to see if he could find a bed that they needed in the house, you know, an extra bed. And he finds this four-poster bed that was thrown away. And he gets it home, and as they're taking it out of the truck, one of the caps falls off of the four-poster bed, and out of the cap is a bunch of silver coins that was worth, you know, big bucks. Family was blessed, right? Yeah, in a very unlikely way. Another wealthy man, he had one son, and he had all of his wealth, you know, ready to be transferred to this one son. Son died before him. And in his will, the man said that his whole estate should be auctioned off, right? And the first thing, it was written in his will, the first thing that you need to auction is the picture of my son. So the auctioneer that day, you know, there's the whole estate, and they get up there and say the first thing, you know, who's going to give me something for this picture? Well, there's only one man that bid for the picture of the son. And after the man bid and the auctioneer said, sold, he looked out upon everybody who had gathered around and said, the auction is over. What do you mean the auction's over? Oh, in the will it specified that he who bought the son got the whole estate. Woo, doggy, what a powerful story. What a great illustration of what God wants, right? Yeah, what he wants for us to serve him because he loves us. Oh my goodness, I have too many notes. Showers of blessings, right? We are blessed to be a blessing. Come on, we are blessed to be a blessing. We are never intended by God to be dead seas. You know what makes the Dead Sea a Dead Sea? It has no outlet. It has an inlet, but has no outlet. So what you need to understand in the kingdom of God, in God's spiritual principles, is that God blesses so that we can be a blessing. God blesses us that we may bless others. He never intends us to be dead seas, right? That's why he was critical. Jesus was critical of the man, you know, who just built more barns, you know, saying he could store up more stuff. And the Lord appeared to him and say, hey, you fool, this very night your life could be asked of you, right? Taken, right? We are blessed to be a blessing to others. The best position for you to position yourself to be blessed by God is this, open hands, right? That you know the blessings come in and you're willing to give them out. Amen? Best spiritual position to be in. You're blessed to be a blessing. But let's face it. Now, I don't have time to get into this next point, so I'm just going to make a key point. Life, at times, is not fair. Right? Someone said, life's not fair. I lost my keys at a ball game, never found them. I lost my sunglasses at the beach, never found them. I lost my socks in the washing machine, never found them. I know what that's like. I lost 3 pounds on the diet. I found it and five more. Life doesn't seem fair. You know, the prosperity of the wicked is a theme of Scripture. Psalm 1, right? Blessed is the man who doesn't walk in the counsel of the wicked, right? Not so the wicked. They don't prosper, but the fact of the matter is, there are times temporarily when we see the wicked prosper. That's the truth, right? Again, it's about how you measure blessings. The God of this age, the Satan, that is the devil, he knows how to create a world system that can temporarily reward greed and selfishness. Because why? He wants more greed and selfishness in the world. You look at somebody with just material blessings and don't ever presume that they are blessed by God. Amen? Don't ever presume it. The fact of the matter is, the best blessings, again, are eternal blessings. Right? But listen. In our lives, every day of our lives, we make choices. We make these choices, and oftentimes we don't see clearly what the ramifications of those choices really, you know, are, what the consequences of those decisions are. We don't realize sometimes that God desires to pour out so much blessings on us that we cannot contain it, but that He indeed will never bless disobedience. He will never do that. That in order to be positioned in a way to receive God's best blessings, you need to start seeing, right, that indeed God is a good, good Father that will not reward wrong behavior, but that does indeed bless obedience. Listen, last word, God blesses obedience. Whenever Joshua got the people into the promised land, right? Old Testament, promised land of God, land flowing with milk and honey, right? God had warned them that when they get in there and they start to prosper, they're going to forget God. So Joshua called all the people together. And here's the words, my final words this morning. Here's what he said in Joshua chapter 24 and verse 14. And once you get that up, would the worship team come back? Joshua chapter 24 and verse 14, right? This is after they've been in the promised land and Joshua is calling them, right, to stay faithful to God. He says this, Joshua 24 and verse 14. We have it. It says, "Now fear the Lord and serve Him with faithfulness." He said, "Throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord," listen to this, "but if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river, the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living." But he said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Choose, right? God is so much about choices. Sometimes we have to do the checkup, right from the neck up, and say, why am I not experiencing God's best blessings in my life? And the answer sometimes is, look at your choices. But take heart in this, if you choose this day to repent and serve the Lord, you open back up the pipeline for God's best blessings to flow into your life. Amen? As for me and my house, you know, we're talking about family today, given the word of the Lord that came earlier. You know, it's difficult whenever you realize that everyone in your family, once they become of age, they have their own will and they have their own choices, right? There comes an age in, you know, the life of your children as they grow when you realize that you can no longer force them, amen? There's a time when kids are little that you can get away with that, right? Well, you should, right? Because they don't know and you're able to exert, you know, your parental love over them, right? There comes a point, though, when the choice has to be theirs. Amen? That's a hard place because as a parent, you want them to choose right. Why? Because you know, you've lived long enough to know that that's positioning them for the blessings of God in their life. Amen? So what do you do, church? You pray so diligently for your kids and your grandkids, don't you? That they would see this truth, that their eyes would be opened. You see, that's what this word was talking about, that eyes would be opened to see that we truly have a good, good Father. And He truly does desire to bless His people. But the choice is always up to individuals. Choose this day whom you will serve. Right? When you choose God, when you choose His ways, You choose to put yourself in the position for His best blessings to flow. Amen? I don't know what circumstances you're going through, but I know that God can turn your mess into a message. I know that He can turn your test into a testimony if you stay faithful to Him. I know it just as sure as I'm standing here. So stand with me here. And let's close this service with just a time of worship as we once again just dedicate ourselves to serving the Lord. And if you need special prayer here this morning, you want to lay something down before the Lord, the altar is open for you. Lord, turn the mess into a message. Turn the test into a testimony. Come, Lord God, meet people where they are. Lord God, open their eyes to see a God that loves them, desires to bless them, that calls them to loving relationship with Him. Call us, Lord God, by name today. Lord God, straighten out families, Lord God. Restore families, Lord God. Work, God. As only You can. Work, Lord God. Pour out from heaven.